So why auto-hypnosis? Why self-hypnosis when, of course, there are plenty of people who'd like to hypnotize one? Well, I do enjoy external-facing content. I listen to pretty much everything that crosses my eyeline. I enjoy almost everything, but it's partly about self-mastery for me, about, like, building those flexible mental responses which can be tied to other things. And the revelation that I would like to self-condition, to culture my environment to inspire certain reactions, to sometimes feel out of control, even though I am the architect of that loss of control, it was when I realized that I have a lot of stress and trauma responses, and that all they are is involuntarily tying an event I witness to a powerful physiological response. Sometimes negative, sometimes positive, sometimes adrenaline or cortisol will dump themselves, and that level of chemical control over my own brain, if it can be involuntary and caused by a long period of circumstance and context and condition, I considered that it must be possible for me to create circumstances which would have a fortifying effect or a resilient mental process. And for me, this meant I had to choose things that didn't really fit in that classical, oh, consensual non-consent hypnosis mold. The things I do are actualizations. They are features of the doll. They are software installed in my cyberpunk rig. They are features of my environment. As you might have a meditation pit, or a candle you light when you take a bath, or a favorite cologne, I have all those things. But I have also spent a lot of time letting them entice me to masturbate, or switch around the way my thought processes feel in terms of focus. And this has included giving myself a lot of grace, a lot of permission to say, all right, I can't really focus on this, so what if, instead of focusing on it, I was edging or doing something else, or I stare at a spiral like a palate cleanser to refresh my brain? And then it was like, well, okay, you've tried to make your life more ADD-friendly, more disability-friendly, less stressful, more burnout-resistant, but it's hard for me to give myself permission to do things. So for me, the non-consensual part is, oh, nope, you said you're going to take a break, and the break is a specific kind. I have workout conditioning I've made for myself. I have fetish training. I have all sorts of specifics that are auto-hypnotic, and as I go through the series, I'm kind of going to be pulling those out and giving examples. And in order to do it, I built up these kind of building blocks. Now, my own personal philosophy and self-help matrix and so on is not necessarily going to be useful to other people, but the building blocks might be. Because if you recognize that something I do is something, you know, that you do, you can take that bit and go, okay. And that's why the focus is on, you can edit this response. You can construct new scenarios. And I'm being necessarily vague, but I'm going to give a lot more detail as I go. To give an example, I walk into my room. I have color-changing lights, and the pink lights are tied to my bimbo programming, and the purple ones to my stud conditioning, and the green ones to my general fetish and slut and horny fuck pig kind of programming, and then I have a red one for getting down to work. And it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm suddenly hypnotized to do my work. It feels like this grinding cogwheel. I kind of assign a kind of steampunky or doll-natured aspect to it. And when I mention these, I'm mentioning common pop cultural mind control and hypnotic elements, because those are very useful, the kind of memes which loosely surround what we do. And for me, that's useful. But for you, it may just be academically to go, well, obviously you can think yourself horny if you create a circumstance. Well, obviously you can think yourself relaxed, but you often hit up against, but should I really be relaxing? Shouldn't I be grindcore sigma-maxing my capitalism stat harder? Which, yes, is beating in the back of all our brains. And in my case, it's like, nope, I can't resist hypnotic trance. My first mantra work was developing that it would be okay and safe if sometimes I were not always in control. The irony is that those who love to lose control sometimes have more trouble self-authoring their material because losing control requires for them that they not be at all in control of it. Being a little bit in control of how you lose control is, duh, at the center of SM, at the center of kink, fine. But doing it in a hypnotic way sometimes benefits from having structures. I spend time every day, a good 15 minutes, flexing my hypnotic structures I've been using lately, kicking the tires. I retrain the old rituals. I have randomness and dice worked in. I have cards. I have a little bag of tasks and fun activities. And one of the key things was to be like, sometimes I would grab something and be like, oh, I'm not in the mood for that. And that's okay. But then I built a system of forfeits or of storing it for later, or sometimes I would leave the room and go, wait, I am in the mood for that, because it would build up slowly from a seed in the background. And I have powerful imagery attached to these, so necessarily a lot of my work will come from being able to visualize, but that's why I'm always leaning against that when I describe it to others. It's like, oh, you should use physical tools, things you can see, little tokens. It is actually quite effective. I dropped a pen. It is actually quite effective to have like a star that you put next to your to-do list, and sometimes the thing you're doing is you. Or I can constantly be pulsing in the background. So if I find I'm in a mood to be hypnotized, I might put a spiral on the big TV in my room and sometimes get dragged to it, and that's fun. Or I'll put a scent or a song or something that I have used classically, and then I will go to town, become the most dropped slut I can for that thing. Learning to set something to 11 without going overboard in a way that interferes with the things I want to do, without utilizing energy that needs to go elsewhere, learning to go the right amount of overboard so that you feel, quote-unquote, out of control, but really it is all part of a controlled performance, a pageantry, and that's another element. If you're good at this stuff, and you're playing with someone who likes hypno, they're going to be very impressed by how easily they can get you under, or push your buttons, or... Because having someone else do it when you're used to doing it to yourself is so lovely because you can respond the same. Or you can give them that slack-jawed, wide-eyed look and go, oh, and realize, yeah, you're going to carry it out. And since self-editing and self-regulating and exploring self-regulating, because sometimes people come to hypnosis as a way to avoid having to self-regulate. Sorry, the best stuff is gated behind quite a bit of thinking about what you're doing and why, and quite a bit of flexing those mental muscles. Brain's just a muscle with delusions of grandeur. I cannot resist hypnotic trance. Dolls drop deeply down, even my tendency to fall into rhyme or near rhyme, all the time. These are all elements of how I experience hypnotic patter, my own instructions, etc. So that's just a musing on why auto-hypnosis, why self-hypnosis first. One, it makes you really good at all the other stuff. It's being a self-starter in a lot of ways. And two, if I'm going to walk around with all these trauma responses in my head that I can't control and get randomly scared or tired or sad, I better also get randomly happy or energized or invigorated. Reality and the world at large may do a lot of work to condition me one way, but I am deciding for myself to architect some circumstances to, you know, not traumatize, but dramatize, to enter a dramatist persona, to act, and acting. People are like, oh, well, acting means it's fake. Tell me you've never watched a really good actor. And I'm not even talking a method actor. Anybody can inhabit a role, inhabit a state of mind. The ability to use empathy to inhabit the construct of what you think someone in a given state would be like, I'm just inhabiting versions of myself. Someone horny, or gone, or really, really turned on, but also edged or waiting, someone lying in wait, or exploring things like the limit of my attention, the fact that if I don't pay attention to something, I might not remember it. That is amnesia, but people think, oh, well, that's not hypnotic amnesia. No, it is. It really kind of is. These are all just tricks we do to our brains, being exhausted at the end of the day, hanging out on the cusp of waking up, wanting to drift back to sleep, so you let your memories vanish. You even forget the alarm you just turned off. These are all things that tie together. They all work in the same wheelhouse. We can use the body's physical phenomena in the same way that when you were in circumstances, if you are like me and have had such circumstances, where you don't know where your particular anxiety or nervousness responses come in, or where your particular invigoration and arousal responses come in. It can be hard to trace the origin of a fetish, for example. All these things exist, so you won't necessarily know where you're training a hypnotic thing. You may have to intentionally do it. And at those times, the intensity can be quite variable. So it's like, even if it's just a little thing at first, it can become much, much more. With time and effort, you can end up in a situation where you know more about your own little triggers, your own mental effects. Pardon me, I am opening a pill bottle. I just record these musings at my desk, and, you know, that's another thing. Context is everything. If I'm just proceeding through my motions, I will necessarily speak more freely. It changes the way I talk about the topic. So, take pulse, for example. I'm constantly doing that in the background. If I'm idle, and I'm either around company where it's safe to do so and comfortable for me, or in private, I'll end up pulsing, sometimes almost to the edge of climax. And then it's like, all right, I'm going to go, you know, rub one out. Or I'm going to go sit at my desk, put a spiral on, and get dropping. And using that in either way is appropriate, but you still ended up in the background, contexting yourself into someone who would almost come. And if someone instructed you, hey, as part of our hypnotic play, I want you to be pulsing regularly. I want you on edge for me. It's like, okay, well, I'm way ahead of you. Hey, when you go through a doorway, I want you to forget what you were doing for a second, so you have to carry notes with you. Well, the sweep concept from the second auto-hypnotic lesson has you covered. And the idea of being primed is at the core of this. I'm always ready to absorb a new hypnotic construct, a new way of being a little bit out of my head, and following a new set of rules. And it comes from a history in theater and acting a little bit when I was quite young, and from now voice acting for a long time, from playing tabletop RPGs and video games where I inhabit a character, learning to be in a state where, oh, the rule of this person being you, is that I experience arousal when the color of the lights is purple, and that arousal is thrusting and entry-based, reading books and learning a lot of synonyms and the flavors and qualities of words. You know, there are a lot of very colorful words and phrases with different textures. A friend likes to use voluptuous for sensations that take a while to process. Is that perfectly appropriate? No, but I'm a synesthete, so I get it. Or the idea that some arousal is spiky and some is dull and distributed, that trances can come in a sweep, or they can punctuate in a pulse, 1% and 2% and 3%, until they overtake you. And maybe you'll learn numbers and measures for you. I think of myself sometimes as 50% hypnotized, and I'll see some mind control stimulus and go, nope, 60, 70, and then I'm tipping off the edge, falling vertically and pleasurably. And some people don't like water, don't like falling, don't like common hypno imagery, so you would edit and put in your own. You get the idea. But no, to return to the original reason for this musing, I first decided auto-hypnosis, self-hypnosis, self-editing, because trauma and stress were going to do it anyway in the other direction. I might as well get busy correcting, not by removing that, because that is a job for the long work of life and therapy, but finding fun things that can occupy the spaces that are not otherwise occupied, creating context hooks and triggers. If this, then that is something your brain is already doing, and if you unconsciously do something, you can consciously do that thing. If something happens sort of in the background, it's because you're devoting one or two points of attention to making sure that when X situation you are vigilant, Y thing happens. Well, you can take a few points of your attention and put them when X circumstance, then Y. And when I need to relax and I leave a little note to myself with a trigger on the desk, or I change the lights, turn off the switch, take a nap, knowing when I turn them on again it's going to be that color, I can load circumstances for later, store the potential energy, look forward to it. Very much like developing a regimen of training or lessons just for yourself. But you have to give it credence and amplify it. If you can treat it like it's overwhelming, that serves you well, even though it's not. But you also have to separate that real-fake divide. Everything your brain does is real, and everything inside your brain is fake. If your brain were just scooped out of the world to some higher dimension, there would be no trace of all the thoughts you think in this world anymore. They are located in a very small muscle, and therefore you should learn to flex it. Food for thought.